And we're going to look tonight a little more into the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's read first of all from 1 Peter. And we're going to see what Peter said to Israel, not to us, to Israel, about when is it going to be Israel's blotting out of their sins and their salvation. When do they get their salvation? 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So you can see there, Israel's salvation will only be revealed in the last time, to quote it. For Israel, their salvation is the outcome of their continued faith. And that's unlike us. We're not in that group. We're not waiting for Christ to return to have our sins blotted out. Paul said to us, you are saved, meaning upon belief. When you believe the gospel, you are saved immediately. That's Ephesians 2, 5, and Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, Romans 5, 11. So, 1 Peter 1:10, we were talking about, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. They're waiting for grace. Here in 1 Peter 1:10, you can see that again, that the grace of God should come unto them. It's not already appeared unto them, as it has unto us. You know, the grace of God has appeared unto us according to Titus 2:11, and again Romans 5:11, Romans 5:17. Here's another verse from Peter about Israel, and it's about the same thing. Peter's consistent. Wherefore, this is 1:13, 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's quite clear. There's a difference there. God is gracious in offering them salvation, any salvation. At different times, God offered different salvation by different means to different people groups by a different gospel. Israel had the gospel of the kingdom, it's called, in the Bible. That's what the Lord named it, the gospel of the kingdom. And that was to be believed, but they rejected their king and his kingdom. The world in general, the Gentiles, they were never given Israel's gospel of the kingdom to believe. Later, and we Gentiles were preached a salvation gospel that Christ died for our sins. That was later on, though. We didn't know about that in the early Acts. And it was not only that he died for our sins, it's applied to us when we believe on him to be saved. Believe on him as our Savior, that he died for my sins. They're all paid for. He died for your sins. The difference is proof that we are not under the same gospel that Israel had been under. We all are to believe what God told our people group, whether Israel or Gentile. At different times, God told different people groups different things to be believed, and sometimes to be acted on. The Bible never calls either the Gentiles or the body of Christ Israel. Israel was never told to be saved by only believing that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again. That wasn't a gospel preached to them. It wasn't authorized to be preached to them. That's one very major reason why it's foolhardy to ignore when God said he was talking to a particular people group How foolish to claim to be Noah. You know, I mean, just to, as an example, how foolish to claim to be Noah and to demand that God save you if you build an ark. According to Genesis 6:14, it's in the Bible, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark. And pitch, thou shalt pitch, and shalt pitch it with within and without with pitch. So there were specific rules by which Noah and his family would be saved from the wrath of God in that flood. And we must consider the context in these verses. Both the immediate context right around it and the remote context far, in other places in the Bible, but on the same topic, even though it's not adjacent to it. People grab a verse and they run with it without caring what God meant, really meant. God usually makes clear what he means and wants in the context right around it or about it. Look at the verse before Genesis 6:14 that says to make thee an ark. We're going to look at Genesis 6:13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Adam could not be expected to obey that gospel, to be saved from the wrath of God in the flood by building an ark. That gospel had not yet been revealed or preached. Neither can you today be blamed for not building an ark. God said it unto Noah, make thee an ark. God never said to you that you would be saved by building an ark, although God did save Noah that way. God gave different gospels to different people groups at different times. After Israel's exodus out of Egypt, and just before God gave the law for Moses to give to the people, we read in Exodus 19, verses 3 through 6, three verses here, a promise of God to Israel. And it shows up later on in Jesus' ministry, and it will show up later yet, still in the future from us. Starting with verse 3 in Exodus 19, and Moses went up unto God. Now, he didn't fly through the clouds. He climbed the mountain where the Lord had spoken to him before. Went up unto God and said, and the Lord said unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, verse 4, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. Verse 6. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Here again, unless you study honestly by rightly dividing Israel's salvation gospel from the salvation, the gospel of salvation that God gave to the rest of the world through Paul, unless you divide them one from the other, you will introduce confusion and error into your understanding of the Bible. The only way to understand the Bible is to divide it rightly, keeping the context. And here we'll get into one more set of verses that show what happened at the end of that acceptable year of the Lord. There are at least three angles or ways to look at this that all of them show that it was the acceptable year of the Lord, and what was momentous about it, or what I was going to say impending, but what happened because of that. So there was another large gathering of Jews in Jerusalem as for a feast. Luke just dates that gathering as being in those days. And so starting in chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "Is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables?" Let me just add a note here. You can see the 12, and you can see the disciples here, but they're not the same. There is a difference in the text between the apostles and the disciples. The 12 were the apostles appointed and sent out by Jesus Christ himself in Matthew 10:1-4. And that was to spread the news of the coming kingdom, to be witnesses of his resurrection, and to sit upon 12 thrones when the Son of Man shall come in the shall sit in the throne of his glory. However, the disciples are the followers, seeking to fit in to the discipline of the church of Matthew 16, verse 18. Only the 12 were Christ's apostles of the kingdom, not all the disciples. Later, other missionaries or apostles, general apostles, were added, but they were not the 12 kingdom apostles. The 12 apostles remained the leaders in Jerusalem and in the church of God in Jerusalem until Acts 15, at least. Acts 15 indicates that the leadership had begun to shift from the apostles to the apostles and to the apostles and elders. It was a joint effort, I guess you could say. Then later still, after the offer of immediate kingdom, the at-hand kingdom, after that was withdrawn, some of the 12 apostles began referring to themselves as simply as elders, especially John. You can see that in his letters, epistles. While we're talking about the differences in the apostles, we need to differentiate between the Bible term prophets and apostles and the transposed Bible term apostles and prophets. Which comes first and why? Luke, as well as Israel's apostle Peter, referred to Israel's prophets before Israel's apostles. In other words, it was prophets and apostles. And we can see that Israel's prophets in the Old Testament did come before Israel's apostles in the time of Jesus Christ. So they were the prophets were first apostles, prophets and apostles. And let's look at a couple verses about that. Luke 11:49. Just a moment, please. Luke 11:49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. Look in 2 Peter 3:2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, apostles of the Lord and Savior. The only variance to that principle was by Israel's apostle John, written about a time in the distant future after the body of Christ is already at rest in heaven, we read Revelation 18, verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. When Paul was talking about the body of Christ apostles, including himself, Barnabas, including Timotheus and Silvanus, he always referred to the apostles before the prophets. So that would be apostles and prophets, not prophets and apostles. Additionally, that was the order in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, in which the Lord set them in the church, which is his body. Both in Ephesians 2:20 and Ephesians 3:5, Paul used the term apostles and prophets, meaning the body of Christ apostles and the body of Christ prophets. Paul also shows in 1 Corinthians 12:28 that the body of Christ apostles and the body of Christ prophets were set in the church. God put them that way, in other words, set by Jesus Christ after his ascension back to heaven, not before, like was true of Israel's prophets and 12 apostles. So, when servers were needed in the Church of God in Jerusalem, the 12 apostles said what was to be done. Acts 6, verse 2 and 3. Then the twelve called the multitude of the apostles. Let me get it right, though. So important. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. The business was the serving of the tables, buying and distributing the food for dinner time, for the daily ministration. That was the plan, according to Acts 4, verses 34 and 35. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. That's Acts 4, verses 34 and 35. In Acts verse 3, before the beginning of the body of Christ, notice the term appoint over regarding this business of ministering the food to the church of God. The daily ministration, it's called, from the sale of the property and bringing the proceeds and laying them at the feet of the apostles. Before the end of the acceptable year of the Lord, the Holy Ghost inspired the 12 kingdom apostles to delegate the food distribution to be managed by the seven men appointed over that, including Stephen and Philip, a proselyte, and others. Let's advance from chapter 6 of Acts to chapter 14, verse 23, to see that Christ led Paul to ordain elders in every church whose function would be, well, it would be made known later in Acts 20. It's clearly stated in Acts 20. After Acts 14, we can see that in Acts 15, in that bipartisan summit meeting reported in Galatians 2:10, the Church of God wanted the body of Christ churches to remember the poor, as Paul agreed to. Then in Acts 19, moving on through Acts, in Acts 19, after the acceptable year of the Lord, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 to 3, Paul ordered not only the earlier churches of Galilee, but also the Corinthians to take up that work of the Lord to keep the believing circumcision church in Jerusalem from starving. Then we get to Acts 20, and we see that important, those important verses, and about what is the job description of the overseers, the elders that were called down from Ephesus to Miletus. He said he calls them overseers. They've been made overseers. That's why they were ordained as elders. In Acts 20:28, the elders were charged with getting the little flock in Jerusalem fed. Paul gave the job description of what an overseer is responsible to oversee. The word overseer, episcopus, here, it's translated bishop in Titus 1:7. It's translated overseer in Acts 20:28, but it's translated bishop in Titus 1, verse 7. And here's 1:7. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. And two verses earlier, in Titus 1:5, it's equated to the elder bishop. The elder bishop, elder slash bishop, was temporary, like the gift of tongues was temporary. No wonder they had to be of high character, since they were the ones to oversee the collecting and delivering of the body of Christ donations to Israel's kingdom apostles at the Church of God in Jerusalem for the starving saints, or the poor saints, as it says in Acts 20:28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the Church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And we'll stop there and hopefully get back to it tomorrow.